All right, a reading here. We're talking about the life of faith, I think. But tonight we're going to call this particular message Under the Influence. Under the Influence. Now, this is not just talking about faith now. We're talking about faith here. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Glory to God. I know it took some of y'all back for just a minute, but we're still in the house of God here. We're talking about holiness now. Okay. All right. Look what it says here in verse 4. "But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Glory to God. When you're talking about walking by faith and living by faith, you're talking about faith 24/7. We're not talking about just faith as an emergency to get out of some situation. We're talking about really having faith as a lifestyle. And that brings you into a whole new atmosphere, atmosphere of God. Faith is a realm of God. And it's through faith, really, that everything that I do is developed, because I'm at a place now that I'm trying to move and go forward, doing something, taking the ministry somewhere, helping, coaching people, doing different things that God has called me to do, prayer and sermons, so forth. So when I'm talking about getting a sermon, I have to get it by faith. I have to get it by faith. I have to go to God and believe that I've received from God what he wants to say to his people. And I have to do that by faith. I have to believe that I have something that he wanted to share with you. Because there is no proof other than faith. Let's look at that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. There's no proof other than faith. So if I start a series called Vengeance and Recompense, where did I get that from? I had to get it by faith. I had to believe that that was something that was given to me. And I tell you this, when I first started, I don't have anything much to preach. I first started and I started that series and I give what I have. But it's interesting about God, if you just empty out what you have, he'll fill it back up. And he's waiting for you to empty it out so he can fill it back up. So each time I get it by faith and I go home Sunday night, I always start getting bits and pieces even as I go home, because the anointing is still flowing. And then that Monday morning, it starts really coming through and so forth. And then I start seeing what God's direction he's taking me in. I understand all that's by faith, because I can't feel a thing. I don't have anybody sitting in my study with me telling me, "William, you know what he wants you to preach." Not like that. I have to believe that I heard what I heard. Okay? Look what it says. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for," verse 1, "the evidence of things not seen." I'll read that out of the Amplified. You can put it up there. "Now, faith is the assurance, a confirmation, the title deed, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." So when you're talking about faith, you're talking about living by faith, you're talking about the fact that I've got to go outside of my five physical senses. I've got to go outside of anything that I can feel, touch, taste, smell, and in here, in my natural. So faith demands that I leave the comfort zone of the flesh. Faith demands that I leave the comfort zone of the flesh. So natural senses belong to the natural man, but faith belongs to the spiritual man. Faith comes out of your heart, not out of your head. Not 1 ounce of faith in your head. All right. So faith comes out of your heart. So when we're talking about this, you can't consult your natural senses that your prayer has been granted to you. You cannot consult your natural senses that your prayer has been granted to you. That's as ridiculous as me trying to read this book with my ear. I can't read this book with my ear, because my ear is not in that dimension. It's not in that place, that channel that I can read this book. It's not designed for it. So your feelings are not designed to detect whether you have faith or not. That's a whole different place. So you can have faith and sitting on it. Let's look at that. Let's look at Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter 14. All right. In Acts chapter 14, this is Paul. He now is called Saul, going on his missionary journey. He said in verse 6, and they were aware of it. And fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Say, preach the gospel. What comes when you preach the word of God? Faith comes. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Wow. Who never had walked. Now, this is key, because now we're about to get something here going that's undeniable. Who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, how did Paul know that the man had faith to be healed? How did he know it? All right. He had to discern it. It had to be given to him by the Holy Ghost. Because you can't tell whether you have faith for anything except the Holy Ghost show it to you. And except you know it, of course, by faith. Glory to God. Ooh, that's good. Sometimes I say things and it just makes me just... I just want to dance. Okay, and said this. Verse 10. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and what? And walked. Look what it said in verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? Now, that's kind of interesting here, because he is saying here that the gods are come down to us. Now, you and I came from God. Matter of fact, I'm God Junior. Now, I know religious people might want to walk out on that, but just get in the Bible and study the thing out. One of the things that is key for us to operate in the supernatural, is to understand what God says about us instead of what other folks say about us. That God says, ye are gods. Psalm 82, verse 6. He said, put it up there, please. Psalm 82 and verse 6. Let you see this. And he says this, have I said ye are who? Gods. Keep going. And all of you are children of the Most High. So you are children of the Most High. Now understand, this has a lot to do with the supernatural coming through your life. Because that's one of the things the enemy wants to do, is he wants to erase the picture of how God sees you. Because it does take a consciousness of this for this to flow through your life. And nothing in the scripture is automatic, not concerning the promises of God. So you're going to have knowledge of it and faith of it so it'll operate in your life. So understanding this truth that you are God's will cause every devil to bow to you. I'll say it one more time. Understanding this truth that God is in you and you are a child of God, and accept your divinity in Christ, will cause every devil to bow to you. Say amen to that. Amen. Look over here in Matthew, Mark's gospel, please. In Mark chapter 5. Over in Mark chapter 5, this is when Jesus came to the other side after he had stilled the storm, and he came, and now there was a man who was demonic possessed. This man had broken chains and all of that, crying in mountains, cutting himself. Verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus? Verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and did what to him? Worshipped him. He's bowing here. He's bowing. Every force of the devil will bow to you if you know who you are. Now, this is very, very important. See, we're continuing to seek signs when we should have signs following us. You follow what I'm saying? We're continuing to want somebody, some more, give me some more signs. Folks, I thank God for that, but I'm not here to reinforce your unbelief. I'm here to get in you who you are, and you're not going to get it through a sign. You're going to get it through meditating the Word of God. And we need to do that. That's the way the church grows up. I had to realize I kept following signs. We were new in this thing. We kept going, and thank God for Charles and Francis. Thank God for the people that we went to see. Hey, wait a second. Somewhere I had to stop following Benny Hinn. Thank God for him. Thank God for the thing. But signs are for the unbeliever, man. That's the Bible. We got to understand, if you rise up in this thing, they will follow you. You walk in a room and demons will stop. But see, until you get there, you don't need to follow anymore. You can get right in here and see what this says about you and about what authority you carry as a believer in this earth. Who is that? One of the men of God, and if I call his name, you'll know it. He said, "Lord, you showed yourself to Oral Roberts. You showed yourself to Lester Sumrall. You showed yourself to Smith Wills, so forth and so on." He said, "Why don't you show yourself to me?" Amen. He said, "Let me tell you something. If I show myself to you, it'll set you back 20 years." Folks, God knows what you need. You need the Word. Look over here. Put it up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. You are, glory to God, verse 18. "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the what of the Lord? The glory of the Lord." Keep going. "Are changed," keep going, "into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Hallelujah. Turn to Isaiah 8 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. I'm going to bring you upright. I'm not going to put you, you're not going to get another baby bottle. You're going to get this, the Word of God, and you're going to go home and meditate this Word until you walk in a room and demons bow. Until you start casting out these spirits in your friends, and you know, people who come to you, until you start laying hands on the sick in your environment and they recover. Because that's what you got inside of you, and I'm not going to let you get used to him, me pumping you up with something and something else. No, you're going to do it yourself. Here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for what? Signs and wonders in Israel." Thank God for those ministries and so forth. And we try to, at points in time, have these ministries here. We had the missions conference just now, and T.L. Osborne's grandson, Tommy O'Dell. Yeah, he was down there working miracles, getting people healed. So he's showing people that. Yeah, we want to do that. Glory to God. But ultimately, God wants you to walk in the potential that he's given you. See, that's been the problem in the church, is that we're still babies in here. We're still sucking on thumbs and baby bottles and so forth. We got to get rid of all of that and start telling the devil what to do and get out our children's lives and all that kind of stuff. Say amen to that. All right. So, I forgot where I was now. Boy, that's good preaching right there. So I'm saying living by faith is a lifestyle. And what I'm saying is, I'm out here to train you up so that you can live by faith. If you need wisdom for a situation, then you consult wisdom. But look what it says about it. James, come on, James chapter 5. And over in James chapter 5, look here, and I'm sure you know the scripture. And pardon me, James chapter 1. Chapter 1, please. Look what it said in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation." That's going to take some faith right there. Somebody just talked about you like a dog, and you got to count it all joy. Come on now, say amen to that. Somebody pulled out in front of you, almost made you hit somebody, and you're going to have to count it all joy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, watch this, wanting nothing. That's where God wants you to get to. You don't have a single want in your life. Look what it said in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God, that giveth to all men what? Liberally, and does what? Upbraideth not, and it shall be what? Given him. But let him ask how? In faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive how much? Anything from the Lord. So faith demands that you have one and one and only one source. And it demands that you not waver. You got to keep your eye right on the prize, to keep your eye right on what God has given you. Now, battles are necessary to get where you're going. I've said all this before. Battles are necessary to get where you're going. Let's go over to let's go over to Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. And I'm not saying you can't go see things and so forth like that. It's good for you. We'll have time to time when God gives it to me. But boy, I got to wait on God to give me some. I'm not moved by people. So you can tell me as much as you want, but I will not be moved by you. You'll watch and see. I got this far being moved by the Holy Ghost. He tells me exactly what to do, and I do it. That's it. So I'm saying, get over it. Okay, get over it, because that's where he is. And if you come here to try to tell the pastor what to do, go to another church. Because this one right here is going to hear God and God only. He's going to tell me exactly what to do. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You can ask my wife. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Amen. All right. Look what it says here. In verse, where was I? What did I say? Okay, battles are necessary to get where you're going. So you're going to have to fight the good fight of? You're going to have to fight the good fight of? You're going to have to fight the good fight of? Faith. And faith demands that you leave your natural senses. So the devil is not an intellectual devil. You can't think him away. So get over it. What you got to do is run him away. You're going to have to use the word of God and make him bow. You're going to cast him out. You're going to so forth and so on. And part of that demands that you know consciously who you are. Your faith flows perfectly in righteousness. Righteous are as bold as a who? Lion. It's hard for you to be bold against sickness and you don't know who you are. It's hard for you to be bold against a storm coming up like this is about to come up here and you don't know who you are. But once you know you are a God in this earth and that everything in it has to bow to you, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm preaching better. Man, this is good stuff. Now, I'm talking about under the influence because I want to take you somewhere. I want to take you somewhere in just a minute. Where's my page? Glory to God. Don't you leave here. Here you go. All right. See, the one thing. Oh, Lord. No. I'm not going to preach. I'm trying to preach it. Let's go. Where, what did I say? What? Mark 4. I know that, but I was saying something else. I wanted to say. What did I say? Y'all talking at the same time. I can't hear up here. Well, hollering loud is not going to help you. I hear a lot of voices. I'm trying to discern what you're saying here. What did I say? What did I say? Battles are necessary to get where you're going. Okay. That didn't help. Okay, but that's okay. That's all right. Okay. Now, let's look at this, because that's something I wanted to show you there. All right, let's look at Mark 4. It'll come back to me. All right. Now, this is when he told them, let us pass over to the other side. And the tendency to believe, people think, maybe they're on the wrong path if they haven't too many obstacles. Now, you got to look at Jesus' life. He had obstacles from the time he was born to the time he died. And he had obstacles because he was on the straight and narrow path. He was on the exact place where God told him. So if you're battling right now, I can guarantee you just about in the right place. What you need to do, say amen to that. You need to understand you're going to win. If you don't give up and you stay in faith, you are going. That's a word. You're going to win. Glory to God. All right, look what he says in verse 35. Let us pass over to the other side, all right? And when they took him, they had sent away the multitude. They took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep in a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, careth thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I told you that thing will come back to me. Oh, let's go over, hold your hand right there. Let's go to Psalm chapter 8, please. Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. All right, Psalm chapter 8. Let me know when you get there by saying, Praise the Lord. All right. Remember, sonship is a backbone for the supernatural. Look what it says here in Psalm chapter 8. And I'll start here working at starting in verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, talking about God, and the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the what? Angels. Now, that word angels now doesn't mean angels that fly around. Amen. It's talking about angels, meaning the translation is Elohim or God. You have made him a little lower than God, the triune God, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, making one. He says, and has crowned him with glory, glory having to do with the anointing, and honor, honor having to do with position. Why has he said position, crowned him with position? Because Adam lost his position. Remember when the Adam sinned and God said, Adam, where art thou? Yes. Notice he wasn't talking about location. He was talking about position. He had lost his headship. He was no longer head over the earth. Now Satan was the God of this world. So now Adam came under Satan. Yes. Got it? So now Satan is ruling the earth. Yes. So now mankind has to get out back from under him and get his position back. And the way he did that is by being born again. Once he's born again, he's born as a new race of kings. Glory to God. Rulers over this earth. Say amen to that. And look what it says here, verse 6, thou madest him to have what? Dominion over the what? Works of thy hand. Thou hast put how many things under his feet? All things under his feet. All things. Everything is under his feet. You got what I'm saying? All things. So as a born again believer, you've been translated into the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. You have the status of the son, a son of God, and so you command respect. Now, every demon knows who you are, but he knows when you don't know who you are. I didn't get many amens on that. But I got dominion now back again that Adam had before over everything, all the earth. So now when fish are not biting, I can make them bite. Glory to God. Say amen to that. Or how about over in, Lord have mercy, plants. I got dominion over plants. No man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And he came back in less than 24 hours, the whole thing had dried up. Come on now. I'm talking about I got rulership over the animals. I've got rulership over the plants. How about rulership over the storms of life? Come on. I've got, you just saw that when he said, peace be still, and that was a great storm. How about rulership on Mark chapter 5? He had rulership. Oh, have mercy. He had rulership over the demons, where the devil bowed to him. How about Mark chapter 6, when people didn't have enough food? In verse 35, Jesus said, feed them. They didn't have but two fish and five loaves. He fed a multitude. So I've got dominion over scarcity, over famines. Come on now. I'm just saying, even they said, Jesus said, Lord have mercy. You've got dominion over everything, praise God. But the other thing you have dominion over is time. Now I want you to get that one. You've got dominion over time. In other words, faith determines when something will happen, and time will bow to faith. Your faith will determine when something will happen, and time must bow to faith. Glory to God. What did David say tomorrow about this what? Time. Okay, he said this day, glory to God. David said, this day shall the Lord deliver you in my hand. Over in 2 Kings chapter 17, tomorrow about this time, it's going to be plenty, it's going to be cheap. I'm just saying, time even itself is a created thing. And time must bow to faith. And you must realize that you tell time what to do. And Lord have mercy. I'm not going to stop there because I got to quit. Okay, so now understand what God says about you. Who you are, where you're from, what you have, and what you can do. Now, roots is very important. Because Jesus talked about his roots not coming from Mary, but his roots coming from the Father. And that we need to understand our spiritual roots so that we can embrace our sonship and live the life of the supernatural. Oh boy, that was all right there. All right, now, let's get into this piece, under the influence. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, please. I've got 1 minute, 23 seconds. How many of y'all can bear with me while I just finish my last point? Well, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm not trying to take time, I'm trying to make time. Glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Okay, all right. Okay. Now in this, now we need to talk about this time thing because this is still working people over. Because if you're still operating under the veil of time, you're still operating under the veil of the curse. So you got to understand that time's supposed to obey you. You don't obey time. All right, say amen to that. There's nowhere that a man should tell another man how long he's got to live. Because he didn't make that man. God made him. Say amen to that. All right, so now I'm not saying, I'm not coming against people. I'm just saying people have done things because they've not understood faith. All right, let's look at this. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noise that he was in the house. Can I just deviate for just a minute? Because I'd like to show you something. Because I'd like you to see one of the principal things that needs to happen in the body of Christ is a word called meditation. Meditation. It's all right for you to just hear what I just said, but you'd be surprised that in terms of mind, your mind and thinking being transformed, that might not have happened. You are mentally assenting to what I said is true. And the proof to that is no fruit based on what I preached. So we need some fruit in our lives. All right, let me just show you this because I got this from God and I got it and I felt that I should show you this and I've skipped over it. So let's just put a bookmark right there in your thinking. But let's come back to this place right here. Let's go over to Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I had some other scriptures I was going to show you, but all right, Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right. I don't know what that is. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 11. No, verse 10. I'll start there. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give thee, great and goodly what? Cities, which you didn't build. It says you build not. And houses full of what? All good things. Keep going. We didn't build not. Now, do you believe that? Oh, wait a minute. I'm not going to wells yet. I'm still talking about houses right now. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that these are your promises?
Yes.
Yeah. So God's going to give you houses fully furnished. Okay. All right. Now that's, come on, somebody say good news. All right. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Psalm chapter 112. Psalm chapter 112. I think you know this scripture. All right. Psalm chapter 112. Yeah. Look at verse 3. That says add that to verse, to Deuteronomy. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, his righteousness shall be forever. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, what am I saying about this? You can read that and you can shout. But when is it going to get in your life? Got it? And I really believe the missing piece there is called meditation. Because meditation will lead you into revelation. See, natural knowledge is not enough because you're not dealing with an intellectual devil. You're dealing with one that takes power to get him off your land and to get it delivered into your hand. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why the Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 1 about his mighty power, which same power that raised Christ from the dead. You're going to need power to do this. Now, in this, what I want to point out to you, and I think I told you the story before, because you need to know how God sees it. I'm not talking about how you see it without God. I'm talking about how God sees it, not how you were taught this back in Sunday school in the quarterly. I'm talking about how God sees you with this today. Because everything in this Bible is the will of God. And that will was delivered to you. It's the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's identifying everything that belongs to you. He paid for it. It's yours. Got it? Now, you can't just go out there and hope that it comes. You got to take it by faith. Now, to take it, your desire has got to match God's desire. Okay? Now, how do you know what that says? What I do is I meditate that so that my thinking is transformed, meaning that my imagination and what I see is what God sees. All right, let me tell you what I mean. When the man went over to one of the Arab nations to do some business from the United States, he did the business, and once he did the business, he was about to come back to the U.S., and one of the royal family over there of the Arabs say, hey, it's customary we give a gift. What would you like? He said, I wouldn't like anything. I'm just going back to the States. He said, I understand that, but it's our custom to give a gift to people that we've done business with, so forth. What would you like? He said, no, really, I don't care for anything, so forth and so on. He said, wait a second. He said, we've got to do this. This is our custom. And the guy saw that he was getting to a place where he could offend those folks. So he said, okay, fine. He said, give me a golf club. Now, when he said golf club, he would talk about he would think about an iron or a driver. You know what a driver is? Okay, talking about a club. And so what he said, boom, I'm thinking about that. But what happened? The guy fulfilled his wish. And when he sent somebody to the States, one day there was a knock at the door. The gentleman from America answered the door. He said, are you Mr. So-and-so? He said, yes, I am. He said, I'm so-and-so. I'm coming from the Arab Emirates. I have been sent by so-and-so, and I'd like to have you to get in your car and follow me. I'd like to take you to your golf club. Now, one of them was thinking an iron. Am I right? The other one was thinking 18 holes, putting greens, clubhouses, lakes. Got it? Now, put Isaiah put up there, please. Oh, the sign says stop back there. See that sign says stop? Isn't that wonderful? It says stop, stop, stop. Put it up there. Isaiah 55. I'm beginning to close. Isaiah 55. All right, look at verse 8. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 8. Uh-huh. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And because of it, my ways are not your ways. So it's interesting how God is thinking this big. And we're thinking this big. Because of the training that we received and failing to meditate to let the Holy Spirit paint a picture of how God really sees that inheritance that belongs to you. Let me quit. Y'all look unimpressed. Okay. All right. Let's just come on back over here to Mark chapter. Maybe I was just walking on the wrong side. Maybe I'll come over this side. Let's look at Mark chapter 2, please. All right. Look what it said in verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noise in the that he was in the house. This is Jesus now. And straightway, many that were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw, come on, their faith. Now, this is interesting. When he saw their faith. Now, this seeing their faith was key for them to get what they came for. Because God needs your faith to transfer to you your inheritance. He needs your faith. But I want you to see something here. I call these four crazy friends. Now, why? Because they're under the influence. Faith is a force, not a struggle. Faith controls whoever possesses it. It is an active force that will actually control your mentality. It's very important. You remember the story I told you, Brother Hagin tells this story, and it's about a man. These people were going to launch a hot air balloon called a dirigible. And they were going to launch this, and as they were going to launch it, they were holding the rope, and this balloon had helium in it or whatever, And what happened is a gust of wind came and swept it up to the point that it went up high enough that some of the people let the rope go because they got afraid that they were going to, you know, something going to happen to them. And because of that, not many people were holding the rope. So now the thing really gets out of hand and it starts rising. Other people came and some people actually went up 40, 50, 80 feet and then fell down and died. But this one man held on. The balloons start moving forward and went. And so they got into cars and trucks and went and chased it down. And then pretty soon it started coming back down and they came. And once the man who had the rope got within distance, they grabbed him and they took him and they were getting him and they're going to put him on this gurney, put him in an ambulance, take him to the hospital. He said, wait, what are you doing? They said, well, we're taking you to the hospital. He said, no, why would you take us to the hospital? He means to the hospital. They said, aren't you hurt? He said, no, I'm not hurt. He said, well, what's wrong? He said, how did you maintain yourself through that flight and not let go of the rope? He said, well, once I saw I was up so high, I didn't hold the rope anymore. I just tied it around me and the rope held me. Now, you remember the woman with the issue of blood. It's found in Mark chapter 5. Flip over there real quick. Come on, I got to quit. And look and see what happened here. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of who? Jesus. That's the word. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Come all the way down to verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, thy what? Faith has made thee whole. Sometime do a study on how many laws she broke to touch him. Something like 12 Jewish laws to touch him. How could she break those laws? Because she was under the influence. And I'm telling you right now that when you really have faith, the reason why you do crazy stuff is because you're under the influence. The force of faith has affected your thinking. And nothing fears you anymore, or you don't fear anything. And you will move in a place where people wonder, what manner of man is this? What manner of woman is this? And I'm telling you, that's where most people have not gotten, and you need to meditate that word till it takes you over. And no longer are you holding on. Boy, I'm going to call the pastor and see if I should stop taking this medication. If you got to call me, take it. Because you're not under the influence yet. Get where you get crazy. I'm just saying that as a word that I can use, not mean that you get mentally disturbed, but you get out of your mind. You get into a place where you're willing to tear up the roof. You got what I'm saying? And I'm saying that's where God is taking the church. That's the kind of faith I'm going to start preaching. That you get under the influence, you don't have to call me for nothing. You will do something that people will look at you and say, why are you doing that? But the next thing you know, the promise is manifesting in your life. Because your faith has made you whole. Give the Lord a praise. That's what we got. Hey! Oh, I'm telling you. You get David. Look what David did. He said this. He said, big God, let me tell you, I know you bigger than me. You've been trained in war from your youth. But this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. He was under the influence. Look at Esther. Esther going to a place, know that she can get her head cut off. But she stood up there. The king pointed at her. Esther, what do you want? I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom. Under the influence. Look at Daniel. Daniel and the three Hebrews. King, we respect you, but we're not going to bow down. and walked in that fire, and the fire couldn't touch them because they was under, come on, the influence. Look at Jesus, praise God. That's what I'm talking about. It's time for some believers up in here, some people that are under the influence, because you don't care what nobody thinks anymore. You're going to walk it out and see the glory of God. Hey! All right, take your seats, please. That's where I wanted to get to, because I'm under the influence, brothers and sisters. I'm doing stuff now. I'm not doing it out of my own mind. I'm doing it out of the mind of Christ. You get faith is a force. It will actually affect your mental attitude. That's how powerful it is. Oh, when I discovered that this morning, I'd like to shout it up in the house. Say, I'm under the influence. Oh, Lord, that's a sermon for somebody right there. If you hear God has spoken to your heart about being born again, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works, lest anyone would boast. So in your life, know things are not right with you and God. It's what you're here for. God brought you in for this reason. Bible.